Well, it's a joy today to be able to bring the Word of God to you, and you may be wondering what I will be speaking on, and it is simply that we are looking at a portion of what was read earlier, and that is the anointing by Mary of the Lord Jesus Christ in the house of Simon the leper. Now, some years ago, I was asked to write a tribute to a very close friend of mine in the Christian ministry, and he was about to retire, and I was asked to do this particular task. And so it was that as I thought about what to say, that I touched upon certain personal incidents that made up our friendship and made it strong, like the occasion when we first met together for the first time. Then the helpful counsel that he gave to me when there were challenges in the church at various times. There was the concern and the prayers relating to the health, my own health and that of our family, and some of the family issues that we had. There was also his faithfulness to the Bible and the church that he served. And these were just some of the things that stood out that you could notice. And you could say with good confidence, these are the things this man has done and for which I do respect him. When we come to Mark chapter 14 and verses 3 through to 9, you're looking at just one particular incident there of Mary anointing Jesus. But look, if you would, at what precedes it, and look at what follows after that incident. And here is what you find in Mark's brief history of the death of and the work of Christ. He touches on various things that were of importance to him. And so it is that he records the malice of the scribes and the chief priests, who were intent upon trying to kill the Lord Jesus Christ at that time. He goes on to tell us then of how Judas went to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus for just a little money in verses 10 and 11. And then there is the final Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his disciples in verses 12 to 21. And then the institution of the Lord's Supper in 22 to 25. Now, these are set in this way, and I believe Mark is trying to point out the highlights. Look at this, he says. They're trying to kill Jesus. Look at Judas Iscariot. How astonishing that he should want to betray the Lord. That final supper together. All these things, you see, high points that Mark wants to emphasize. And then perhaps in a surprising way, what you also find here is that Mark takes the trouble to emphasize what Mary did and to say, look, she anointed the Lord Jesus Christ in anticipation of his death that was soon to come. Now it is this that I want to speak to you today on. It's something which is perhaps a very touching story that you find in Mark's Gospel, but so important for us to learn from as well. And so the first thing I want to bring to your attention is Mary's initiative, the initiative of Mary as we have it in verse 3. Now, not too much is known about Mary, but there is enough to appreciate something of her spiritual progress, how she came to faith, how she grew in grace, and so on. Now, Mary was a native of Bethany, and Bethany was located about 2 miles southeast of Jerusalem, and she lived in Bethany in the home together with her older brother Lazarus and her sister Martha. And whenever it was that Jesus traveled on the east bank of the Jordan to wherever he was going, he would always make a point of stopping at Bethany and often to visit the family there. Now, on one such occasion, as recorded in Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 onwards, hospitality was extended to Jesus and his disciples. A fine meal was being prepared. And it was Martha who worked hard in the kitchen preparing the meal, while the disciples, the family, and the neighbors all sat together in the sitting room of the day, and there it was that they listened to Jesus teaching the Word of God. They listened, and it seemed that they listened intently. And there was Mary, and Mary made it her business to do what? To sit at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ and to listen to all that he said, to soak in, as it were, everything that he was saying just then. Martha, her sister, who was under all the pressure to prepare food, resented Mary sitting there listening to what Jesus taught and had to say. And so it wasn't long then before Martha went to the Lord Jesus and asked him if she would please speak to Mary and tell her to get up and to go to the kitchen and to help her in food preparation. A perfectly natural request. But how does Jesus respond to that request of Martha? Jesus gently rebuked Martha, but commended Mary, in that he said, "Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her." You see, Mary sought the kingdom of God and the righteousness of God, and she found salvation in the one who was teaching her, even the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, when you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, you will find the Savior also. That is a certainty. Seek the Lord while he may be found. But the answer is yes, he will be found when you look for him. But then there was another occasion, you see. And so it was that on this occasion, as we have it in John chapter 11, the brother of Mary and Martha had died and had been placed in the tomb. And he had been in the tomb when Jesus finally arrived at Bethany for a period of some 4 days. And so it was that when Jesus approached Bethany, he was met by Martha, who said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Martha went on to make what we might call a very fine and good confession of her faith in Christ. And she said this to the Lord Jesus just moments later. "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who is coming into this world." When Mary finally made her way to Jesus, she fell at his feet, and she said very similar words to what Martha had said, you see. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And then she dissolved in tears. The tears flowed freely, and she was in bitterness of soul at the death of her brother. It was indeed a sad situation, and one's heart would go out to anyone in that situation of bereavement. But here, on this occasion in John 11, the fact was that Jesus raised a dead, decomposing man to life again, and to perfect health. That's astonishing. There was the power of God at work in raising this dead man. But the fact was, you see, that we are told that people looked on and they observed the power of Jesus Christ in raising that man from the dead. They were absolutely astonished. And so it was that as the wonder of what Christ Jesus had done gripped their hearts, many of them believed in the Lord Jesus Christ there and then. Was it any different for Mary? She had seen Christ's power at work, and she acknowledged him to be the Christ. And in effect, I'm sure she bowed before him and received him. She had seen the glory of God in Christ, and she believed in the Savior. But then finally, we are brought here to the home of Simon the leper in Bethany. And it is there that we come across this man. Again, we know little of him, but it is possible that Jesus had healed him at some stage. If it is not the case, nevertheless, here was a man who had been cured of his leprosy and was perfectly well again. Now, what better thing could Simon the leper do for Jesus, who was passing through there, to say, come and have a meal with me, you and your disciples. It will be an honor to have you in my home. And so it was, Mark tells us, that Jesus reclined and ate with the disciples, with Simon the leper. So Mary came in. I'm sure she came in quietly and unobtrusively, but she made her way behind Jesus and then took out this alabaster flask of extremely costly liquid ointment and poured the contents of it onto the head of the Lord Jesus Christ. You would have thought that the response of Jesus might have been, oh, what's going on here? And he might have pulled back a bit, you see. He didn't do that. You might have thought that he would have rebuked Mary and said to her, stop. But he did not. Instead, he allowed her to finish exactly what she was doing in anointing him. But then we ask the question, why is it that Mary anointed Jesus? Why did she anoint him? Was it out of gratitude for what Jesus had done in healing her brother Lazarus? Far more than that. It was gratitude for knowing that Jesus Christ was her Savior, you see. And it was with the insight of knowing what lay ahead for the Savior, that he was soon to suffer on the cross and to die for sinners, to die for her sin in Jerusalem. Mary's initiative is shown by her taking the most prized and precious possession she had and pouring the contents over Christ's head. She seized an opportunity that came to her in God's providence and anointed Jesus in anticipation of his death. I ask you the question, what is your most precious possession? What is your most precious possession? Well, perhaps you might say, well, it's my money, it's my possessions, it's my property, it's my family, it's my status. These are the things that are important to me. Those are important, but they are not as important as the most precious possession. And the most precious thing that you can do, the most precious possession that you can give, is yourself to the Savior. And what one of us here is that good that God would accept us? Not one of us is. We have our sin. There is the fact that we are under the wrath of God. And yet, that is the one thing that God wants you, me, to repent of our sin and to turn to Jesus Christ. There was a missionary who once said, But nevertheless, there is the fact there of the necessity of you giving yourself to Jesus Christ. That's what you are to do. Mary knew that Christ was about to die for sinful people. And you may know exactly what Christ has done for yourself. You might know that very well. You might know what he's done on the cross to bring you to God. His sufferings, his death, his resurrection. Therefore, you do well to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And you do well to ask for his full and free pardon. That is what you must do. And I would like to remind you sincerely here that if Jesus did not send Mary away when she anointed him, then neither will he send you, a sinner, away. He will not say to you, you're not good enough, but he will receive you and welcome you when you come sincerely. And the cry of my heart to you today, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, don't ignore what Christ has done for you, but come to him and receive his salvation full and free. But then in the second place, we have Mary scolded. And that's in verses 4 and 5. And it's a picture of how the disciples responded to what Mary did in anointing Jesus. Now, the nard liquid, or spikenard as it is also called, was sourced from the Himalayas and also India. And it was extremely difficult to obtain, but it was a very pleasant smelling liquid ointment, and it cost in excess of £10,000 in today's money. Extremely expensive. And I have here a bottle of water. It's 330 milliliters of water. And that is about how much spikenard or nard ointment that Mary poured upon the head of Jesus. It's a fortune. It was the most precious thing that she could do. Now, there's the perfume, but it was held in an alabaster flask. And that flask was fashioned from naturally occurring alabaster and was also extremely expensive to make. Now, for some of the disciples who looked on at what Mary did, you see, here was a great apparent waste of nard, and it was an utterly irresponsible course of action to have taken, or so it seemed. Judas, the treasurer of the disciple band, felt the loss very severely. Not that he was concerned about poor people and how to help them, not at all. Sadly, his problem was that he stole from the funds of the disciples, and thus the loss of this ointment was severe. It was a year's salary. It was over £10,000 in today's money. What a loss it was to him. And he rued the loss of it. This was just a catastrophe in his thinking. And the anger of some of the disciples knew no bounds as they spoke to each other and said, look at what she's done. What a waste. And finally it became verbal as they turned their attention upon Mary and scolded her and told her that she was a wasteful woman. A very sad thing that they resorted to, but that's what happened. You see, with respect, Judas and the other disciples saw pounds and pence only, and they failed to see the extraordinary act of kindness through Mary. The disciples could have responded as Mary did, by giving Jesus some gift to express their gratitude toward him and to express their love for him. But they didn't do it. The disciples had seen the power of Christ time and again during the 3 years that they accompanied Jesus. They had heard the very words of life from Jesus himself. They had seen his high example of holiness. Some of them had seen the glory of the transfigured Christ before them. And Peter and the other disciples had even said to Jesus on one occasion, in answering a question that he put to them, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." But at this particular moment, as they argued amongst themselves, as they condemned Mary's action, they failed to appreciate the kindness, the merciful act of Mary towards the Savior Christ. And perhaps the trouble was that the disciples failed to appreciate fully who Jesus Christ was. Perhaps they failed to remember all his mercies and all his blessings that had come to them again and again. All they could do was complain and criticize as they witnessed the loss of this valuable ointment. And my dear Christian friend, is it not true to say that sometimes you and I grumble at what God permits in his providence to happen to us? Some difficulty, perhaps fading health, or something that we never expected to ever happen, and it happens. And instead of thinking about all that God and Christ have done to us over the years, there we are, we begin to grumble and complain and say, "How could God do this to me? Why is God doing this?" Instead of simply accepting God's gracious will and being content in what he is doing. It's sad when we sometimes do that. And it's not uncommon. It happens. Oh, that we might look again and take on board all that Jesus has done in suffering and dying for us, in bringing us to faith now in this life, and causing us to walk in his ways. And that should eclipse every other thing that happens to us that is perhaps difficult and hard. But then we move on and we do think of, in the third place, of Mary's commendation. Mary's commendation as we have it in verses 6 through to 9. Now, there's something of a wake-up call. Jesus heard his disciples grumbling and accusing Mary, and he speaks quite sternly to them, words of strong, compelling command, and says, "Leave her alone. Leave her." Strong words of command to stop the scolding, to stop the insult. The ESV, the English Standard Version, puts it quite correctly when it says, "She has done a beautiful thing." It captures the moment perfectly well. Now, there was the encouragement from God the Father of our Lord Jesus through an ordinary woman to his beloved Son. That anointing that Mary gave, orchestrated by God in the presence of his disciples and friends. The disciples were rebuked because they failed to take into account that Jesus would not be with them for much longer. But a humble woman understood and did what was appropriate. And Jesus said of her, "She has done what she could." She has done what she could. And furthermore, there was that remarkable fact that Jesus said that wherever the gospel is preached, what Mary did in love and kindness and devotion would be mentioned. You see, Mary did what she could. As a Christian man or woman here today, you may think to yourself, what can I possibly do to serve Christ? What can I do? Oh, I know what Christ has done for me in salvation, and I am grateful. But what can I do? What can I do for him? Well, let me tell you what you can do. If you are an elderly Christian in the church, and perhaps your health is not what it once was, and perhaps you shut into your home, your flat, or wherever you live, what can you do? You can pray. And your prayers to God for the church and situations that you might be aware of, it's not just words hitting the ceiling and being lost, but God hears. And that is a ministry that uniquely you can do, even if you can't get out, even if you can't have regular fellowship with the church. You can pray. And in doing so, it's just like Mary and the commendation that Christ had. She has done what she could. But think about it on the other hand. In the workplace, God has put you there as a Christian man, a Christian woman. And your faithfulness and your dependability at work is a testimony to God's grace in your life. You're doing what you can for Jesus' sake. There are those times when we are able to give sincere witness to our Savior's love and his mercy. And as we speak of what Christ has done, we are doing what we can. We are doing what we can for Jesus' sake. Wives, you keep house and you do so much for your family, raising the children and 1,001 tasks in the home, day by day. And it's so easy for husbands to neglect and overlook what their wives do. But may I say to you, Christian wives here today, that you are doing what you can for Jesus' sake in serving him and your family. Think about, as a Christian man or woman, your presence at church faithfully every Lord's Day. And when you are in your place in the church, may I say to you that you are doing what you can do. You are pleasing Christ. Your presence and participation even at the church's prayer meetings is doing that which is pleasing to Christ. You're doing what you can for Christ. By way of example, let me just give you two biblical examples of what I'm trying to say to you as well. It is in Acts chapter 12 that we have the account given there of Herod's great delight in putting the apostles in prison. And Peter had been placed in prison, and I think he was due to be executed the next day. The death sentence upon Peter, imprisoned and guards in front of his cell and so on throughout the prison. But there was the church, busy praying. praying against what seemed to be absolutely impossible. Praying that God would deliver Peter. And what happened? Precisely that. Peter was delivered. Do you see what the church is doing? It was doing what they could. There was nothing else they could do. But they prayed, and God heard and answered. They did what they could. In 1 Samuel 25, it's the occasion that David sent some of his men to Nabal's home. And of course, at that time, David was a renegade, as it were, from Saul. But he went, sent some of his men to Nabal's farm and said, "Please, would you help us out with some food? Give us a few sheep, please." And Nabal, unfortunately, refused to do so. When word got back to David, he was absolutely incensed. So angry was he that he got some of his men together and set out to get to the farmstead. And what was David's intention? It was to put Nabal's household to death. Nabal, his wife, the servants, the workers, they were all to be put to death. David just had this mindset. They won't even bother to help me after all that we've done for them. They deserve to die. Abigail, Nabal's wife, heard that David was coming and realized that he was going to act in anger and perhaps murder everyone in the household, you see. So she made a gift of food and she set out and she met David on the way and said, "Here is a gift for you." And she fell down and she asked for mercy. "Please be merciful to my household, to my husband. Don't put us to death." You see, she did what she could. She did what she could. And David was spared from murdering really innocent people. And there are many things like these, you see. There are numerous biblical illustrations that could follow. But what we have here then is the beauty of what Mary did in recognizing that she could show kindness to Jesus Christ. And she did that. And there are things that you and I also can do. And even if they seem so unimportant or insignificant in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, the wonder of it all is that the Lord Jesus Christ sees what we do. He sees our humblest service for him, and he will not fail to appreciate it and value it. We've looked at a very striking passage, I do believe, and there are important lessons for us to learn here. And may God give us the grace that we might be like Mary, to appreciate our Savior and to do whatever we can to please our Savior Christ. Amen.